In Romans chapter 5 this morning, and I'd like to begin by reading chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. Shall we bow together in prayer? Loving Father, we thank you for your love and grace to us. We thank you for the blessing of your word to us, giving us the good news of Jesus Christ and of the hope of salvation by the love of God. Father, we do pray that you will bless this message to our hearts, that we might be truly motivated to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look at this message this morning under the theme of the proof of God's love, we find that God's love is a theme, of course, which is most wonderful in the Scripture. It is a theme which reminds us that our salvation is because of God and not because of ourselves, and that God did send his only begotten Son, and that Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, that it was truly an act of God's love that he came into this world and died for our sins. Several areas we want to look at this morning. First of all, we have peace with God because of God's love for us. Now, as we think of the peace of God, we know that God is able to give peace to us. The peace that really matters is the peace that is in our hearts. That is that peace which goes beyond understanding. The peace which looks at situations in life and says, well, I may be having a hard time right now, but I know that God loves me, and I know that I can get through this. Not because I can make it better, but because God is truly a God who cares for me. And that even this situation will work to the good as long as I'm trusting in God. The second area we hope to look at is that we rejoice in hope. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in the Lord who gave himself for us. And so you may have certain hopes and dreams. You might be looking to build a house, or you might be looking to take a vacation. You might be looking to buy a new automobile, or maybe you're looking to your retirement time when you'll have opportunity to travel or to visit friends or to do things that you couldn't do while you were working. We might call these hopes, but that's hope that you can somehow see ahead of you. And it is hope which you somehow have a part in. But what is that hope which is in God? Well, the hope that is in God is something that you can't see. That is, it's only that which is believed by faith. And because you have a hope in God by faith, then it goes far beyond the natural. It goes to the supernatural. It goes to what God has in store for you because God does love you. And because of his love for you, you then have a hope. And you rejoice in that hope because you rejoice in the God of your salvation. And then thirdly, because God is love, he has demonstrated that love to us. That is, he has shown some proof of that love. Now, we're celebrating kind of an early Valentine's, a time when couples get together and they remember their most important moments of coming together as man and wife, or those days when perhaps they were much younger and they were much more romantic in many ways, and that you still hold that romantic view of your spouse. And how do you demonstrate that view to your spouse? Well, you might give her a nice diamond ring, put on her finger, which is always nice. Women love diamonds, right? You might give her a beautiful necklace, you know, to put around her neck, and got a nice little pendant on it, and it's very beautiful. You might buy her something, a big box of chocolates that's in the shape of a heart, and she'd kind of put those on the shelf. She wouldn't eat too many at once because that might kind of take away from her desire to remain nice and trim for you. But there's things that we do to prove our love to our spouse. We do things in a very special way, right? And that's what we mean by that. We do it in a special way. And so after the time together, we're going to have a little Valentine's dinner out back and try to make it special. That's the whole idea of it. We make it special. It isn't the same. We don't just get down and take out the regular plates and put on the table and have everything the same as we do for any other meal. We want to have it special. And so we fix it with a little bit more flair and a little bit more character and flavor to it. We make it special. Well, what has God done special for us? What proof do we have that God loves us? Well, he sent his only begotten Son into the world. Now, we talk about that a lot. It is the whole thrust of the message of salvation is that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. But you see, that is the true demonstration of the love of God to us. Is that Jesus Christ sent his only begotten Son. Now, we may not understand fully what that is all about. We might even say, I don't understand how that Mary could have a child without a human father. But if we know that God is truly God, and that he has demonstrated such miraculous works in the past, that he can do beyond the natural, even the supernatural, then we ought to understand that God can create in the womb of Mary, by divine conception, a child that is born into this world, and that that child is truly the Son of God. And he is God come down to man. Now, there is a great theological study about the whole issue, but we won't go into that this morning. It is enough for us to say that God proved his love to us by sending his only begotten Son into the world to die for our sins. And so we want to talk about those three areas this morning. First of all, let's look at the passage here again in verse 1 and take particular note of this first point. We have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of God. Well, this is, that theme which resonates most importantly with us as believers. Because we desire peace. Well, you go to the funeral home and you'll find somebody who is laid out in the casket in a very wonderful way, and you might say, well, they're at rest, they're at peace. All their life's toils are over, their struggles are over, and they're finally at rest with God. And you might use that euphemism, that term, to kind of explain that the person has passed away and they're finally at peace with God. Well, because in this world we find that we do have certain struggles. We do have certain hardships, as you will. As you look at verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. In other words, there's a sense of struggle in the Christian life, isn't there? That we struggle with certain things. And part of that struggle is necessary because we find that as we walk by faith with God, as we learn to trust in God, as we come to a place of understanding what God is trying to do in our own lives to make us conformable unto the image of Christ, unto that true likeness of Jesus Christ in the world, and we understand that we're going to have some struggles. There are certain temptations which we run into along the way. There are certain trials that we have, and we often find that those trials work out in a very difficult way in our lives. And they can be physical, they can be spiritual, they can be mental, can be all kinds of things that lead to that we can put in that category of trials and tribulations. But we also know that because of those trials, we are called upon to trust in God. And as we trust in God, we find that there is peace. Peace with God. We have the peace of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, because of that faith which we have in Christ, because we are justified by faith alone, by grace through faith alone, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. You see, we can't get it any other way, can we? Well, according to what the Bible says, we can only have peace with God as we are justified by faith. And we find that Jesus Christ is the one who came and died for our sins. He is the one who shed his precious blood for us. And we find that the demonstration of his love to us, God's love to us, is the very reason why we can say that we have peace with God. And so the peace of God, as the scripture says, passeth all understanding. That is, when many times in the world, when other people are in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of suffering, and find life just too difficult to bear, those who are really trusting in God by faith can say that they have the peace of God in their hearts, though there is much unrest around them, or even unrest in their own lives. And we live in a world today where there is a lot of unrest. Much more than we perhaps would like to see. We find that there's not only that sense of wars and rumors of wars all about us, but we sense that, even more recently, there is a lot of protesting going on. There is a lot of terrorism in the world today. There seems to be political unrest in just about every government. There seems to be spiritual unrest in the hearts of people. There is a sense of moral chaos going on all around us where the society we live in today is trying to redefine even our sense of morality in our culture. And we would have to be blind and have our heads stuck in the sand somewhere if we didn't know that these things were going on. But see, the question is, do you have peace with God? Do you still have peace with God? Even though all of these things are happening, can you say you have peace with God? Well, if you are a believer, then you should be able to say that you have peace with God. Because you can look away from those things and you can look unto Christ, the true author and finisher of your faith, and you can say, because of Christ, I have peace with God. There may not be much peace in this world, but I can have peace with God. And what is that? Then that's focusing upon our true faith in Christ. You see, the true subject and object of our faith is Christ. And so you must look to Christ. In fact, the verse goes on to say, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the peace that you have isn't because of yourself. The peace that you have isn't because you have enough money to get along. The peace that you have is not because everything around you is calm and settled. It isn't even because perhaps you have a good job or your family is okay or right today you're in good health. It isn't because of any of those things. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of our faith in Jesus Christ as our true Savior, through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is where our peace in God is. The second thing that we see here is that we rejoice in that hope. We rejoice in hope. In verses 2 through 5, by whom also we have access by faith in this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so we find that we rejoice in hope. The proof of God's love is not only that we have peace with God, the proof of God's love is that we rejoice in hope. We rejoice in that hope. And so even though the sense of things sometimes is not very joyful in your life, you can look to the Lord and you can rejoice in the hope that you have in Christ. And so as we think about that, we recognize that that rejoicing then goes beyond the amusement of the world, goes beyond the entertainment of the world. It goes beyond even the environmental circumstances we might find ourselves in, such as whether or not we have enough to eat, or whether we have money enough, or whether we have other kinds of things, that resources that we can draw upon. No, our rejoicing is because of our hope through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this do we glorify God. In this do we glorify God. You see, we glorify God because of our hope in Jesus Christ. We glorify God because of our peace in Jesus Christ. We glorify God because we can say that we are rejoicing even today in the midst of all things because of our Savior. And that is something that we ought to be very thankful for, that we can rejoice in those things. In fact, it will sustain you in the midst of very difficult times. And it will be an added enjoyment to you even when things are going just fine, which we like. You know, we like the good days when everything is going good. You know, we may think about when we were much younger and you're full of energy and you're full of life and you're doing things all the time, and you may even think of some of the things you did when you were much younger with your wife or with your husband, and you had such a good time doing those things. And today you might have trouble bending over and tying your shoe. And you say, well, things ain't like they used to be. But can you still rejoice? Of course we can. We can rejoice because our hope is in the Lord. Our peace is with God. And we can rejoice because Jesus Christ himself is the one who has made this all possible for us. In other words, we have a hope that is in the eternal. It is in the supernatural. And it is not a hope without substance. It is a hope of a true foundation. In fact, Christ is even called our foundation, our rock of our salvation. And so our rejoicing, yes, is in good times as well. Even as we think about those things that perhaps once were, but yet even today, in the midst of all things, we can rejoice in our salvation. And we should also rejoice in that we have a future ahead of us. A future that God has promised to us. A future of blessing even now. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way with sinners. You see, we have a blessedness right even now no matter what age we happen to be, whether we are young or whether we are older, we have a blessedness in Christ even now. And we can rejoice in that hope. And of course, that's very important as well. The proof of God's love, then, is that we have peace with God now through our Lord Jesus Christ. The proof of God's love, secondly, is that we rejoice in hope and we give glory to God. And so I hope that you are doing that, giving glory to God daily, even as you pray and as you go about your daily activities. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the world talks about keeping a positive attitude all the time. And they say, let's think positively, let's do positively. And the whole positive thing, you know, is going on in the world today because they think that they can somehow overcome anything that is bad through their positive thoughts. Well, that may be very nice psychologically. Not to say that that doesn't have some benefit to it. But I think we should recognize that the reality of our faith in Christ is much more powerful and eternal and meaningful than simply positive thoughts. Because Christ himself is the hope of our salvation. And Christ is the one that we rejoice in. And knowing this, then, let us understand that the proof of our true salvation in Christ is this which we have in him. Thirdly, because God's love is demonstrated toward us. This is the kind of like the underlying thing that we need to take in view. Because of God's love being demonstrated toward us, we have all these things. And that love of God is so important. So let us read on just a little bit further here in verse 5 through 8. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Now this hope then is a hope that is not to be ashamed of. It is a hope to rejoice in. And so this hope, you know, sometimes, you know, we get the idea from the world that, oh, religion is just a crutch. It's just a crutch. It's just something you're leaning on. You got to suck it up and just get out there and do what you got to do. And never mind this religious thing. Well, of course, they don't understand what we're really believing. To believe in God is to believe in his Son. And to believe in his Son is to have the hope of eternal life. Now that isn't a crutch, because God himself has planned that his Son should come and demonstrate his love to us. And that's what verse 8 says. But God commendeth, or demonstrates, or proves his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, as we understand what the Word of God says, that sin is a separation from God. Now, we know that started a long time ago with Adam and Eve, and that the sin nature has been passed on to all subsequent line within the Adamic line. And we all come from the line of Adam, and we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. These things the Scripture says, that the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now we understand that because God wants to prove his love to us, and is not willing for us to remain so separated from him, he sent his only begotten Son to be the proof of that love. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so this is the marvelous truth that it mentions. And so as we read that with verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given unto us. Now, God the Holy Spirit has given us this love, this loving relationship. And we should be very thankful for that love that God has demonstrated to us through his only begotten Son. And so this morning, as you think about these verses, remember that God is proving his love to us through these various aspects of how the Lord Jesus Christ has come and died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We have peace with God because of Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ and his great sacrifice for us. We rejoice in the hope of our salvation because of Jesus Christ, because of his love for us. And we find that because God's love is demonstrated or proven to us in such a marvelous way, we also have the love of God shown unto us. And so verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die." Now this verse reminds us that there are, we might call them heroes. You know, quite a bit is said about heroes today. A hero is usually someone who is willing to sacrifice their own life, if necessary, to save somebody else. And we find quite a bit of this going on. You know, perhaps they use that term a little bit loosely sometimes. But we might think of it especially in relationship to those who are in serious danger, maybe of dying for some reason, and somebody comes to their rescue and risks their life to save that person who is in danger of dying. And we might call them a hero because they do that. And here is another human being saving a human being, the very best way that they know how, because there was that moment in their life when they came in that particular place where they could do it, and they felt like compelled to go out and to save this person. And you know, I'm sure there were many soldiers in the military who saved other buddies as in war. And there's been many calamities such as a hurricane or a tornado or an avalanche or a car accident, or you know, you could think of a number of different scenarios where this might be true, where somebody risks their life to save another person, and that they're quite heroic in the process. And so what does it say here? It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die." And so in the scheme of things, there are some heroes, and they present themselves heroically and they save. Well, now think of Jesus Christ. Christ came into the world. He didn't have to come at all. But God sent him into the world because he loved us. He loved mankind. And he didn't come just to save a person in a calamity, such as a car accident or a tornado or a hurricane or an avalanche or a mudslide or drowning or something. He didn't come just to save one person. He came to save the world. For God so loved the world. Now, how did God demonstrate his love? He came to save the world. He revealed himself as the Savior of sinners. In closing, I'd like to read a brief illustration to you. It's entitled "From Enemies to Friends," and it's a brief story which accounts what C.S. Lewis wrote in one of his books. It was a children's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And this is how the story goes. In C.S. Lewis' Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, in the Chronicles of Narnia series, a boy named Edmund commits a terrible act of treachery and is thus condemned to die by the laws of Narnia. According to this law, the deep miracle from the dawn of time, all traitors are the rightful property of the evil one, the enemy. But Aslan, the great lion, frees Edmund by dying in his place. The enemy exalts, believing she has now has Narnia in her unchallenged grip. The next morning, however, Aslan comes back to life. He explains to Edmund's sister, Susan, that although the enemy knew the deep miracle, that there is an even deeper miracle she doesn't know, when an innocent, willing victim is killed in place of a traitor, death itself begins to work backwards. The deeper miracle from before the dawn of time is a law of sacrifice, atonement, and redemption. What Lewis illustrates in his masterful children's tale is what Paul says in Romans 5, 6 through 10, happened in reality in the life, atoning death and resurrection of Jesus. Sinful humanity stood justly condemned before a holy God. Lawbreakers all, we deserve judgment and condemnation, but an innocent substitute took our place and gave us the opportunity to be redeemed from the penalty of the law. And so we find that God has redeemed us. God has redeemed us. God sent his only begotten Son. God proved his love. He proved his love by being able to give us peace with God. He proved his love by being able to give us the rejoicing in hope, even in the midst of suffering. He proved his love to us by demonstrating it to us through Jesus Christ, who is the true Savior of the world. And so demonstrate your faith as well. You may say, well, I have little faith. That is okay. God can take little faith and make it more faith, and make it stronger faith. But demonstrate your faith and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And do all that you can to continue to walk with God and to love God. Because God, God's only Son, is the proof of that love to us, that he has loved us. Let us bow together. Loving Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray that you will bless it to our hearts. Lord, as much as you are able to take your word and to impress it upon our hearts and our lives, we ask for your blessing in this. In Jesus' name, amen.